It's a couple minutes after 9 o'clock at 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine. Where for this next hour of programming, the opinions and views expressed are not necessarily those of KUCI, UC Irvine, or the University of California Board of Regents. Good morning. It's time now for Talking Animals, KUCI. This is Angelo Badalamenti with a piece called Cool Cat Walk from the movie Wild at Heart, by the way. As we ease into today's edition of Talking Animals on 88.9 FM, KUCI in Irvine, and streaming live, of course, on the internet at KUCI.org. And the whole enterprise, the whole shebang, the whole nine yards, the whole enchilada, is broadcasting from the University of California at Irvine, home of the mighty, mighty anteaters. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I'll be with you till 10 o'clock this morning with a program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. Right off the bat, I'd like to tell you, for the next hour, you can reach us directly by phone at 949-824-5824, 949-UCI. KUCI, and I absolutely urge you to use that number and call us at any point in the show. Don't be shy, I'm telling you. We love, love, love to get calls. You can also instant message us via AOL Instant Messenger. The screen name is Talking Animals. And other, perhaps less immediate, but still effective ways to be in touch include emailing us at talkinganimals@AOL.com. And by way of, via, if I may, our website, talkinganimals.net. Again, make no mistake, folks, that's .net. Also, before we move on, I want to thank Serena Sharp for another smart, stimulating, smoking edition of the Serena Sharp Show. Meanwhile, here at Talking Animals, primarily we strive to learn about animals and animal issues from our guests, from news items, from your calls, from assorted other sources. We're also here each week to celebrate animals through music, comedy, and other means. We aim for a spirited balance of those elements, as you can readily glean by visiting our nifty website, talkinganimals.net, where, as of this moment, thanks to webmaster extraordinaire John Taylor, every single show we've ever broadcast is archived. So if you check that out and the little synopses that accompany every show, or you're just a listener, regular listener even, let's hope, you'll know the heart of the program is the interview we conduct each week with some notable inhabitant of some province of the animal world. Today, our guest is Bo Rinaldi, a natural food chef for 40 years and co-author of Vegan World Fusion Cuisine, a just gorgeous new cookbook. Jam-packed with all kinds of wonderful recipes and stunning photography, as well as a foreword by Dr. Jane Goodall. And as co-author, Mark Reinfeld is the executive chef at the Blossoming Lotus, a renowned vegan restaurant they own on the Hawaiian island of Kauai. So Vegan World Fusion Cuisine is loaded with an array of information well beyond recipes, including guidance on how to make the transition to a veg diet and do so while eating fantastic food, thoughts on nature, the environment, and animal life. So there'll be much to discuss with Bo Rinaldi when he joins us in a few minutes here on Talking Animals. Meanwhile, it's time for our weekly look at items of interest in animal news, and I want to remind you of the phone number to join us on the show with your own comments and questions about animals, not only this week's animal news items, but also any other animal topic you'd care to discuss, announcements, maybe there's an event you're involved with, a benefit for an animal-related organization or cause, or any observations in the animal world, anything, any news stories you might have spotted that you think we should be sure to be covering, all that would be most welcome. 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. The same number, by the way, that I hope and almost assume you'll use when our annual fun drive kicks in later this week. It's May 6th through 16th. It's our one time during the year where we ask our listeners to kind of help support the programming, music, talk show, public affairs, all the cool stuff we do here on KUCI. So we ask that you call up and donate and or you can do it online by way of our cool website, KUCI.org. And really help. $10. Hey, I can only do $10. $10 is great. You know, $25 is better. $50 is better than that. But I mean, $10. Don't be shy. I mean, that all those $10 is. It's amazing how those add up. So, do what you can. We really appreciate it. And get this: sometimes it's not strictly an altruistic act. We got premiums, so-called premiums, that are essentially like thank yous for donating. So we got CDs, gift certificates to restaurants, concert tickets, all kinds of cool stuff. So all that and more will be explained in the next few days in more detail, but just want to give you a heads up because really, really ask for your support for not only Talking Animals, but just KCI at large for our annual fund drive. Again, it's starting later this week, May 6th, and runs through the 16th. So start setting aside your dollars and your fives and your tens even now so you can help us as much as possible. All right, so turning now to interesting or important developments recently in animal news. Typically, these are local, regional, national, or sometimes international animal stories of note that seem important to spotlight. And with any luck to get your comments on and discuss, we also try to include a few announcements of upcoming events or activities that you may want to pencil in on your calendar. So, having said that, I think if you've listened before, you know what comes next. That's right. Let's Talk Turkey, as it were. Produced by the Talking Animals award-winning Rip and Read News Department. We almost have to start, I think, with this, because sometimes, or often, we sort of necessarily start with fairly unpleasant stories. Here's one that's kind of nice and a neat surprise. The ivory-billed woodpecker, a symbol of the fading American wilderness that was thought to have been pushed into extinction, has been spotted by scientists for the first time in 60 years, taking wing in the wild swamplands of Arkansas. The reappearance of the bird, one of the world's largest woodpeckers, was hailed Thursday as a validation of efforts to preserve and restore forested areas throughout the country. "This is huge," said Frank Gill, a former president of the Audubon Society. "It's kind of like finding Elvis." Okay, sorry. But I know what he means. I'm sure you do, too. There have been sporadic reports of sightings since the last confirmed appearance of the bird in Louisiana in 1944, but researchers have generally dismissed them as the imaginings of overenthusiastic amateurs. The new conclusion that the species is still extant is based on at least 8 separate sightings in the last year, many of them by experienced ornithologists, and a video by David Lunau of the University of Arkansas at Little Rock. He says, "The bird captured on video is clearly an ivory-billed woodpecker," said, this is ornithologist John Weaver Fitzpatrick of Cornell University, who reported the finding with his colleagues Thursday in the online version of the journal Science. "The bird is hard to mistake. It has a 3-foot wingspan and distinctive black and white markings. Creature sometimes called the Lord God bird," he said. "It's such a striking bird that when people would see it, they would say, 'Lord God, what a woodpecker.'" And it goes on from there, but cool. Usually we have to lament species heading towards extinction or becoming extinct or overfished or whatever. So it's nice that one rallies. Yeah? Okay. Now here is a, let's just jump into it. It's from San Antonio. It's from a TV station there, as well as, I think, a combined effort with the San Antonio News newspaper there. "Visitors to the San Antonio Zoo on Sunday, as in yesterday, were greeted by protesters demanding that the zoo stop routinely killing dozens of cats, skunks, and raccoons every month. Quote, 'They're slaughtering the animals. They're killing cats,' the protesters yelled at families filing into the zoo. Many of the protesters carried posters bearing photographs of cats." This TV station, in a series of reports late last month entitled "Slaughter at the Zoo," reported that the zoo routinely traps the small animals when they come into the zoo from Breckenridge Park looking for food. Skunks, possums, raccoons, and the occasional fox are, quote, "chemically euthanized by zoo staff, while the cats are moved to the animal control facility across the street, where most of them are killed." Protester John Hackett of the group Voice for Animals says the slaughter is needless. "This zoo is killing healthy animals, dozens of them each month. That's not what a zoo which claims to care for all species should be doing," he said. Zoo Director Steve McCusker said the news report as part of last month's stories that the animals are predators, which place in danger the zoo's collection of endangered small animals, birds, and fish. Several of the protesters called for McCusker to be fired and a zoo director who truly cares about animals, quote-unquote, to be named in his place. Up front, they've got some nice animals, Hackett, the guy from Voice of Animals, said. Out back, they're killing them regularly. And the story continues from there. You can check it out further online if you'd like. But, wow. Sort of in the good news, bad news on the equine front. Got a couple quick items here. First, sort of the bad news. Probably heard or read about this, perhaps. The broken neck death of a Mustang during filming of the movie Flicka led Los Angeles City Animal Control officials to ban future use of wild horses during the remake of the 1943 movie classic My Friend Flicka. The horse was killed Monday during filming at the Hanson Dam Equestrian Center in the San Fernando Valley. The Animal Services Department, which issues animal use permits to the film industry, shut down the shoot after learning of the death. The 20th Century Fox remake of Flicka stars country music star Tim McGraw, scheduled for release in February. Now, on the plus side, the Interior Department halted delivery of Mustangs to buyers while it investigates whether the slaughter of 41 wild horses in the West this month violated a federal contract requiring them to be treated humanely. Some of the horses killed came from a broker who obtained them from the Rosebud Sioux tribe of South Dakota. Todd Fasthorse, a tribal spokesman, said the tribe did not knowingly do anything wrong. He said the horses were purchased from the BLM for a youth program but were found to be too old and too big. The tribe then traded them. So, okay, so some of that story isn't that great, but at least the fact that the Interior Department is sort of holding things up while they investigate, at least, is encouraging given the current administration's position on most things environmental, animal, etc. All right, it's time, actually past time, I guess, arguably, for our animal, usually mid-animal, but I think beyond mid now, news quiz. One more time, this one's also going to be true-false. So you call in, or you IM in, or whatever, you got a 50-50 shot at getting this. And why is that even worth noting? Well, because we got some cool prizes, frankly. For the first person, there's only one prize per game here. We have another game later in the show called Name That Animal Tune. So these prizes would apply for either that or this one that we're about to do now, the animal quiz. And so those prizes would include the DVD by Triumph, the old insult comic dog, who was a little sneak preview of what I was going to say later in the show, is actually going to be our guest next Monday on Talking Animals. Triumph, the insult comic dog, known from Conan primarily, and another controversial figure, and certainly the first talking animal on Talking Animals. Anyway, so we have his hilarious DVD that collects some of the just best and, you know, of course, most controversial, perhaps, pieces he's done on the Conan show and elsewhere. We've also got some books ranging from Meatless Meals for Working People. I might even just personally try to make available a copy of Vegan World Fusion Cuisine. Again, that's the book co-written by our guest coming up momentarily, Bo Rinaldi, and just, again, could not be a more beautiful and well-done cookbook with just fantastic recipes, beautiful photography, but lots of other information and resources, and again, forwarded by Jane Goodall. Anyway, so we might try to make that available. And we've got Talking Animals merch, merchandise, Talking Animals t-shirt, Talking Animals sweatshirt, Talking Animals coffee mug. We've got cat toys, dog collars, assorted other things. So, and t-shirts from other animal organizations, including from Paws, a cool little one that says elephants don't belong in circuses with a nice little drawing of an elephant. So, and there's more, but that gives you an idea. So you could choose from those. Now, if you were the first person to correctly guess the answer on this quiz, or later when we play Name the Animal Tune, if you're the first person to identify the animal tune. All right, so here we go. Farmers feed newborn calves magnets to keep scraps of metal in the stomach so it doesn't pass through the digestive system, which could cause the death of the animal. True or false? Farmers feed newborn calves magnets to keep scraps of metal in the stomach So it doesn't pass through the digestive system, which could cause the death of the animal. 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI, if you want to guess that answer, if you happen to know it, and you're the first person to do so, you'll have your choice of those prizes. Cool. All right. In the category of a picture or two is worth a thousand words, but we're going to, you know, at least throw out a couple words, too. I'm looking at two wild pictures of these buffalo that you may have heard about in Maryland that kind of roamed their way off a farm where they live and ultimately were corralled, if that's the right term, in a tennis court. It was after they disrupted traffic and kind of freaked out residents, and you know, police cars and a helicopter were all kind of involved in herding the bison, and nobody, animal or bison, was injured as far as I know, and then the buffalo were returned to their farm later the same day. But one of these pictures basically has a buffalo leaping over the net on the tennis court where they were finally sort of herded together. So, that's what you usually do after you win your match. So, in a way, maybe this all makes sense. All right, so I think, you know what, that might have to do it for now. If we have more time, we'll come back to a couple of the items we had in mind for today's Animal News. But we do want to jump into the Comedy Corner and then welcome our guest, Bo Rinaldi. So if there are ever any news stories or announcements or events you'd like to bring to our attention, please email us those items at talkinganimals@AOL.com. We'd also love to encourage you to email us with comments about the show, suggestions of future guests, ideas about animal songs, comedy bits, and any other animal topic that's on your mind. That email again is talkinganimals@AOL.com. Please remind you also, redundantly, perhaps, excessively, maybe, but nonetheless, I'm going right ahead. About the Talking Animals website, of course. We hope you'll check out the site, talkinganimals.net. Again, make no mistake, it is .net. And looks like we might have somebody with a guess. Let's see if we do. Hi, you're on the air live on KUCI?
Yes, I think I'd like to try to answer that question.
Okay, what is your guess?
I think it may be true if the opposite would cause the death of the animal.
Right, exactly. So,
okay.
Good. Well, what is your name?
My name is Liz. I'm calling from Florida, and I'll email you the information, okay?
Wow, sounds like you've been listening before. That's great.
Cause I really have. I'm an avid listener. I really enjoy it.
Well, great. That's great because we're running a little behind, but that's great, and then we will get you the prize of your choice when you email us. So thank
Absolutely.
You so much for
thank
playing.
Thank you so much.
All right,
bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. Bye-bye. All right. See how easy that is? You, too, could have won that, but you still can later in the show when we play Name That Animal Tune. So, at any rate, again, I was just saying, if you have a chance, please check out the website, talkinganimals.net. As I mentioned earlier, every single show as of this weekend, thanks to the huge efforts of our awesome webmaster, John Taylor, every single show is archived, and we also have a synopsis that kind of hits every show, what the guests talked about, the animal songs, the animal comedy, the Name That Animal Tune thing. So it's kind of neat. And there's stories, articles written about talking animals, articles that we've written, little sound pieces, photographs, lots more. So stop by, take a look around the site. Again, it's talkinganimals.net. It's time now to step into the Comedy Corner, which is always, of course, involves animal-oriented comedy. Here's a vintage piece from a vintage comic. This is Jonathan Winters with a piece called Used Pet Shop on today's Comedy Corner here on KUCI.
I am originally from Ohio. You might have read that in some magazine, which is true. You know, a lot of folks make up their names and places and everything, but I am. I'm one of them farm boys. And I had an uncle who was a little off. Oh, yeah. Knocked down by Harley one day. And Harley Davidson, oh, hit him, shook anybody. You know, a kid, wise guy, going about 75 miles an hour, and threw him into the side of a cement plant. But shook him a little, you know. And, well, my Uncle Willard had this used pet shop. It was for used pets. And, there's always something wrong with them, you know. And so a guy came in one day and he said, how much is the doggy in the window? That doggy out there in front? That dog run you a dollar. A dollar for a dog? Isn't that a little unusual? No. I don't know whether you noticed or not, he ain't got no claws on his right paw. Sort of a conversation piece.
Yes, no, I wouldn't want that. What the devil's that over there?
Oh, that's an owl. I can give you him for $375. You wouldn't know it, he ain't got no feathers on his body. I got him down Biloxi, and there was a storm come up or something, blew all his feathers off. And I've got purple feathers and chartreuse, and what you can do is put a little slickum on his belly and paste them on there, you know, and put him there in the parlor. And it's conversation piece like a dog. Yes, I see. Oh, listen, incidentally, don't put your finger in that bowl. No, the reason I... Oh, took your finger off, didn't it? Oh, God, you know, it's a funny thing. We never have to feed that fish nothing. There's always some clown like yourself putting his finger in the bowl. Took it right off, didn't he? Oh, I bet that's smart, don't it? That's a piranha. Them things hit anything. Hit anything. Got him in the Amazon River. I never got it. Some guy dropped off here one day over at the bait shop. Listen, I tell you what I can do. I can give you that kangaroo over there for 10 and a half. Come all the way from Australia. Most of them do. I got him as far as Muncie, and he fell off a flat car and broke his tail. Now, you know, most of them sit back there on their tails like this. But this one, you got to lean him again some.
Oh, I don't believe I'd want that.
I guess not. Listen, I've got a boa constrictor here. It's pregnant. I can give you that and a dozen white rats free. You want to see it? I'll let it out here. Oh, careful. Oh, Lord. Ma, come in here. That snake up and swallowed another customer.
All right. That was Jonathan Winters in the Comedy Corner with a piece called The Used Pet Shop, taken from his album, The Wonderful World of Jonathan Winters. The Comedy Corner is, of course, one of the signature features of Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss, and you're indeed listening to Talking Animals on KUCI 88.9 FM, broadcasting from the University of California at Irvine. As many of you know, we also stream live on the internet at KUCI.org. Some of you, no doubt, are listening that very way, and some of you, perhaps, arrive through our swell website, TalkingAnimals.net. Before we proceed, I'm obliged to remind you that the opinions and views expressed on Talking Animals are not necessarily those of KUCI, UC Irvine, or the University of California Board of Regents. Earlier in the show, I mentioned that our guest today is Bo Rinaldi, a natural food chef for 40-some-odd years and co-author of Vegan World Fusion Cuisine, a gorgeous, gorgeous doesn't even begin to address it, perhaps, but it starts to. A cookbook just jam-packed with all kinds of wonderful recipes, stunning photography, forward by Dr. Jane Goodall. He and his co-author, Mark Reinfeld, own the Blossoming Lotus, a renowned vegan restaurant on the Hawaiian island of Kauai. Vegan World Fusion Cuisine is loaded with an array of information well beyond recipes. We're going to get into all that. In fact, there's a lot to discuss as we welcome Bo Rinaldi to Talking Animals. Are you there, Bo?
Absolutely, Duncan. Thank you so much.
Oh, cool. Welcome to Talking Animals. And, you know, as I've mentioned a few times there, I mean, this book is just really Vegan World Fusion Cuisine. It's just one of the most gorgeous cookbooks I've ever seen. Not just aesthetically, though, the photography and design are just stunning, but also kind of in the truly beautiful content. So I want to delve in all sorts of aspects of the book momentarily, but since the book and the restaurant, really, I guess, from whence many of these recipes come, really sprang from your vision. And Mark, let's first find out about you. Maybe you could trace the path over the years that led to the restaurant, the book, and some of the other related ventures you pursue now.
We all like to talk about ourselves, Duncan.
Sure.
When I was 12, believe it or not, I had allergies. And my doctor, who was a Seventh-day Adventist doctor, gave me a book, Back to Eden. And I followed that book religiously. And within about 3 months, I cured myself of allergies by eliminating dairy and by doing some herbal formulas that he had given. Of course, I'd eliminated meat.
And this is when you were 12, Bo?
I was 12 years old.
Wow.
I read this book, and it transformed my life. And literally, I did not know that I was lactose intolerant, and there was not even that term at that time. It was 1960. And one thing led to another. I began cooking out of the book, started acquiring all kinds of herb books and natural food books, such as they were back in the early 60s. And it was my passion, that food was our medicine. was kind of an anathema because I realized food is not our medicine. In most cases, we're killing ourselves with our food.
Yeah,
so
it's the opposite in many cases. Yeah.
You got it. And so one thing led to another. I worked my way through college as a natural food chef in Southern California at a number of renowned restaurants.
Could you, can you reveal any of those?
No, one like... restaurant was the Source Restaurant.
Okay.
On the people that still do the Caesar salad dressing. Another one was called Help Restaurant.
Nice.
Very, very famous on the corner of 3rd and Fairfax. We would serve, like, Janis Joplin came in. Jimi Hendrix came in. This is 66 to 1970.
Wow.
Right in that heyday. So the Southern California heyday was great for me in terms of giving me a lot of experience in community, living, cooking, and basically being in a natural food lifestyle, a whole food lifestyle. And, you know, I got into the electronics business, natural-born salesperson, got into software. I was partners in a great software company we were fortunate enough to sell. And we sold it in 1999, and I... took a few years out in retirement, decided to come back to my passion. My wife said, let's go to Kauai. I really have a calling there. We went to Kauai. It was the grand opening day of this little cafe called the Blossoming Lotus on the island of Kauai, and I made an overture to these people. I was so blown away by the food, the prana, the philosophy, everything they were about, and we ended up buying the restaurant. Now we've expanded it to two restaurants that serve a few hundred people a day. We have one in Portland, one in Kauai, and if you go into our restaurant in Kauai, it would not be uncommon to see celebrities there. Pierce Brosnan eats there frequently, calls it his most favorite restaurant. Natalie Merchant eats there frequently. Courtney Love flew in to stay there for 2 weeks just to sample the food. It's a very high prana, high quality, full vegan approach to a lifestyle, which we think is the most balanced lifestyle to live on Earth.
Wow, well, that's so cool. So, okay, so there are two. I thought, and the other one is in Portland. And that, is that where you are now, or is that
I'm
where you kind
of... I'm up on the banks of the Willamette River.
Okay.
In Oregon, yeah.
And so, okay, well, cool. Well, let's go from there into, I want to come back to some of the other aspects of your... sort of what seems like burgeoning, related empire that once you kind of... So you kind of left the Silicon Valley, I guess, behind was where you were doing all that stuff before you kind of, you know, retired briefly and then jumped back in, it sounds like,
I
follow.
Exactly,
okay.
Right, yeah.
Okay, cool. So, all right, well, we're going to intersperse this, I'm sure, with the restaurant, but let's, you know, ostensibly we're here to talk about the book, and so first I guess we should point out that while the title is Vegan World Fusion Cuisine, the subtitle is Healing Recipes and Timeless Wisdom from our Hearts to Yours, which, you know, is a phrase that promises a lot, but we'll get to the timeless wisdom in a moment or two. But let's really focus now on the healing recipes. I mean, since it seems very much part of the philosophical and spiritual underpinnings of the book, maybe you could explain or elaborate on the phrase healing recipes.
Right. We actually believe it could be whatever it is in terms of our moment in history and humanity, and we feel it's just extremely important to get our message across that we use our common sense and our intuition and our kind of higher faculties as human beings to affect an inner healing within ourselves, and maybe we could help people understand they do not need to eat the fear of a dead animal. They do not need to take in the chemicals, hormones, you know, pesticides, etc., that we are basically paying dearly for in everything that we're doing. And the healing recipes are here as balanced recipes. There's a few hundred of them in our book. They're easy, from 5 minutes to 2 hours. Basically, we give people every bit of know-how pretty much that we have in terms of being able to create a balanced lifestyle that is less expensive, more healthy, more rewarding, and clearly something that is being more embraced daily. We can go into all the individual aspects, but that's pretty much the net sum of it.
Okay. Well, so let's say someone's listening to today's show whose kind of view or position is, hey, you know, I love animals. That's why I'm listening to Talking Animals. But going vegetarian, much less vegan, you know, hey, that just ain't for me. I mean, the veg dishes I've tried are a bit dull. A few seem to be made with cardboard, it seems like, or whatever. And I just can't imagine life without chicken or a burger. I mean, what would you say to that kind of, you know, slightly stupid but whatever hypothetical person?
No, it's
no,
real.
But it's, so it's actually very common. Yeah,
love animals, but you know, we deal with this a lot. We support the IDA, the Jane Goodall Institute,
sure,
a lot of different places, and the majority of these people are vegetarians or want to be vegetarians.
Mm-hmm.
They really don't know what to do, and we get this question a lot. We start with simple dishes. We use something called Charlie's Relief,
mm-hmm,
which is a tuna made from tempeh. It takes 20 minutes to make. It keeps for a few days. Kids, adults, old people. It's tolerable by everybody. It's completely assimilable.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 25% protein. It tastes like tuna, feels like tuna. But it was kind of funny to me. You remember in the 80s and 90s, it was Save the Dolphins, you know.
Right.
We don't want to net the dolphins while we're going after the tuna. I'm thinking to myself, well, what about the tuna?
You know? Right, yeah. There's something's being lost in the shuffle here. Yeah.
You got it. And so it's amazing that it's kind of better living through chemistry, Duncan. There are so many things that taste alike because they have similar chemical constituencies. They just have less of an impact on our earth and our future. Something like tempeh, which comes from soy, is mm-hmm. an Indonesian dish, is a fermented Indonesian dish that just it has the same characteristics, believe it or not, as a whitefish. So you go out and get yourself some fresh tempeh,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty easy to do in your neck of the woods.
Yeah.
And you can treat it exactly like a whitefish or make our tuna, which I think is like on page 70 or something. Or they can just go to VeganFusion,
mm-hmm.
VeganFusion.com. VeganFusion.com has a lot of free recipes. We put up our Charlie's Relief recipe there. And that's one place to start. There's lots of angles to that.
Yeah, well, it is indeed on page 70. And so, okay, because that's what, I guess that was the rest of my thought from that hypothetical person is like, what dishes from the book, or if someone were fortunate enough to be at the one of the restaurants,
mm-hmm.
you know, would you steer them towards? So you've kind of answered in that. But, I mean, really isn't, in fact, that type of scenario, that sort of, you know, hypothetical person I just sketched, really like sort of the premise of the book in some ways, sort of gently escorting people toward this way of eating with you know, a slew really of delicious stuff that'll prompt them to continue down the path. So if they might start with the Charlie's thing, then it's like, oh my gosh, this is way better than I would have imagined, and they'll take a couple steps forward, right?
Absolutely. You got it. The cookbook is, well, because we use a lot of art and philosophy and wisdom, we use Tim O'Reilly from Vision Magazine, has some of his art in here.
Mm-hmm.
We use Martin Gray, sacred site photographer for National Geographic and the United Nations. We have his art in here, and we have a lot of our own art. The idea is to bring art and beauty, wisdom, philosophy to everything so people can connect the dots that food is sacred, food is healing, and they can start to use their own intuition. Try not to buy things that are packaged. We're not in favor of eating soy nuts or soy packaged products or anything. We like to make things,
mm-hmm.
which takes whatever, 5, 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
1/4 the price, less impact, obviously, on the environment and your own life, your own pocketbook. And we are happy to guide people. We have free helplines. We'll give books to people if they want to understand this lifestyle. We're happy to do whatever we can do to help nurses, hospitals, schools. There's just a tremendous amount of wisdom and knowledge that we have collectively as a family, and we're just happy to share it.
Cool. Well, I got a few more questions, but it actually looks like we may have a question from a caller, Bo. Let's take one of those if you'd like.
Mm, sure.
Cool. Hi, you're on the air live on KUCI with Bo Rinaldi, one of the authors of the Vegan World Fusion Cuisine.
Hi there. I have a question. Would you recommend somebody take, like, a course on this kind of cooking, like on how to make tempeh and stuff like that before attempting it themselves?
Wow. I think that we're always learning. I think that you have to continually inform yourself. I think that before you begin eating tempeh, it's not necessary to learn how to make tempeh. I'll give you a plug. You have a place down in Irvine called Native Foods.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. There's four restaurants that they have in Southern California. Westwood, Irvine is the newest one, and two in Palm Springs area. They make their own tempeh fresh there. To make tempeh takes about 3 days. It's very easy to make, but it's not the kind of thing you're just going to need to know how to do to be able to enjoy it. I suggest enjoying it and seeing if you want to learn more about it. And, of course, you can buy packaged tempeh. It's always very good. But they happen to do a tremendous job of making a very fresh tempeh. They sell it to hotels there. There's a lot of conscious people, obviously, in Southern California.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really cool of you to say, Bo, because, in fact, Tanya Petrovna, who's the owner, kind of visionary behind that, actually, we had her in the studio one time as one of our interviews on Talking Animals, and she prepared tempeh.
Yeah.
And it was really cool, and, you know, not necessarily think for a radio interview, but it was, you know, sauteing nicely, and we were talking to her throughout, and it was really cool, and we really learned a lot. So that's really nice of you to say nice things about her and her restaurants, yeah.
Well, good luck with the book. It's beautiful. Beautiful, and thank you. Bye.
What, you saw the book?
Yeah.
Where did you see it?
I saw it because Duncan had it.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. One big happy family out here.
Well I was lucky enough to be able to look through it, so but it's absolutely gorgeous.
Thank you so much. I would suggest enjoying different types of tempeh and different types of whole grains, really, and just understanding that you don't have to make everything from scratch. You don't have to make your own tofu in your bathtub.
Yeah.
These days the access is so huge that because the demand is there. And I know you folks are interested in health as well as saving animals. Are you familiar with Colin Campbell's new book, The China Study?
No, I'm not.
Well, Colin Campbell is the head nutritionist emeritus of Cornell University. He sat on the World Health Organization. Hello?
Sorry, that was just our caller, sort of a... Sorry.
Colin Campbell, mm-hmm. has a PhD, just came out with a book called The China Study, which is over 20 years in the making. It's the largest health study ever done in humanity. In the book, he flat out asserts the only way to end what he calls bourgeois diseases, diseases of the heart, coronary diseases, cancers, and diabetes, which everything stems from those pretty much, would be to adopt a 100% vegan lifestyle. He's saying cut out eggs, milk, dairy, everything, as well as all your meats, everything, and you will have all of your cancer markers right where you want them, at like one, you know, right where you want them, in the basement. You will have cholesterol at 175. Cholesterol is a modern man plague, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he flat out asserts that. And so I figure that and the American Dietary Association has embraced him, which is pretty huge. And
yeah.
The food pyramid that came out has all this thing on vegetables and whatever. It's a result of this study.
Mm-hmm.
I think you'd find it to be fascinating to know that protein, which they say you need 30% or more protein, well, they happen to be the people behind, well, it was the USDA and the Meat Council that came up with that about 5 years ago and threw it into diet books. There's no vegetable material on earth that has 30% protein.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't exist. Quinoa as a grain is 22%, which is a super grain, right? Tempeh tofu, you're running at about 25%. This concept of how much protein we need also is directly related to the cancers that we have in our world right now.
Mm.
And these are bourgeois diseases, and it's our mission right now, frankly, to try to help people attain a healthy lifestyle before it's frankly too late. And the doctor says, you know, you should start cutting out red meat and whatever from your diet because you're going to die in 6 months.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I've been to some animal-related conferences and things where you know, you get an array of speakers, and including, you know, dietitians and others. And yeah, at least a couple people I remember specifically giving sort of case studies where mm-hmm. someone would come in and said, look, I've just been diagnosed with whatever kind of cancer it is. And that person was saying, look, if you will follow this diet to the letter, I'll help you. If you're not willing to give up your meat and your this and your that, you know, I hope all goes well for you, but there's no way I can help you, you know. But the flip side being that then the other part of those case studies was when people would follow that diet to the letter, you know, the cancer would start to fade and they would feel healthier and better, and more often than not, they'd not only feel way better, but they'd beat it. They'd beat the cancer.
Well, it has now been proven that if you're a woman under 55 years of age and you have breast cancer markers, not cancer, but you have high markers,
mm-hmm.
and high propensity for such, that if you adopt a vegan lifestyle, we're not talking strict or difficult, we're talking like you have the whole world of the plant kingdom to choose from, and such that within 3 years you will eradicate any risk of breast cancer. You won't even need a mammogram anymore in your life. That's proven.
That's pretty dramatic.
It's very dramatic considering
yeah.
that we have kind of a nice, crazy kind of healthcare issue going down, and it's all related. Your GMO to your pesticide to your healthcare to your pharmaceutical to your food, it's all one big happy family. They're all the same companies, I'm sorry to say.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Bo, just because we're, you know, I don't want to run out of time or nearing the end of our time, but we've still got a few more minutes. So let's get back to the book a little bit if we could. I'm guessing to ask you which is your favorite recipe would be akin to asking, you know, your favorite child or favorite animal for that matter. But let's try to single out a few, though. Maybe, you know, whether they're spread across some of the sections of the book. I mean, just you know, maybe there's two or three in particular that you think either are just particularly delicious or surprising, maybe, again, to someone who's sort of tentative in this world, or, you know, just standouts at the restaurant, whatever, however you want to do
Well, at our restaurant, we do a lot of tempeh Rubens,
mm-hmm.
which are very, very popular. You know, we make our own rye bread, we make our own sauerkraut, and make our own tempeh. A tempeh Reuben, though, you can just buy your tempeh, get your rye bread, get your sauerkraut, not made with vinegar, but naturally fermented.
Mm-hmm.
A tempeh Reuben is fantastic. We all kind of have our roots genetically, you know, so we have different taste buds that
sure.
Kind of light up. I'm a big fan of buckwheat. Somebody else might like quinoa. Somebody else might like, you know, a polenta or a risotto. We make a lot of paellas in our restaurant.
Oh, wow.
And paellas, we call it Picasso's paellas. They're very fun to make because it's like a one-step process, and voila, 30 minutes later, you have something that could feed a family of six for under $5.
That's so great. And that's another thing that I think is really important to point out, because I think there's at least a small myth that for people who are also considering this world, that it's actually more expensive, at least when you go out to a restaurant, and I think that's the perception. But, you know, I think what you're pointing out here, you know, is that really if you do it and you jump in and you kind of make your stuff, it's actually less expensive than most diets.
Duncan, there's three principles. One, of course, is supply and demand. The more people that ask for it, mm-hmm. you're going to see soy milk sold at 7-Eleven for $1.99 a quart.
Right.
The second thing is that if you literally do not buy things that are pre-packaged for you, go out and buy some grains and some tempeh, some tofu, maybe pick up some nice vegetables for yourself, some savory herbs. You go to the checkout stand, you have a week's worth of food, you'll do a double take. It might cost you $25 for the week, literally.
Wow.
That's just the facts of life. And then people say, well, how do I find all the time? And the third aspect, swear to goodness, you can make a buckwheat casserole ready to go in 15 minutes. That's how long it takes to cook buckwheat. You can throw some kale on top. And so we like to ask people to go to farmers markets, support their local farmers.
Sure.
Try to eat organically and just experiment. Take a 7-day challenge with yourself. Go to our website. We have menus, recipes, all kinds of, you know, we'll give them music to cook by in the kitchen, you know. We'll do everything possible to keep kind of a shanty, tranquil, mellow vibe going for everybody and help transform their lives and have less of an impact on our earth and much more impact on positive health choices.
That's very cool. I want to remind our listeners, this is Talking Animals on KUCI. We're speaking with Bo Rinaldi, co-author of Vegan World Fusion Cuisine. If you'd like to ask Bo a question, please call us 949-824-5824. And speaking of that website, again, we want to make sure people know that it's veganfusion.com. And let's see, what else? Well, one thing, you know, just because I've made a reference to it and so have you, I think the fact that Jane Goodall, I mean, she just doesn't lend her name to things willy-nilly, much less write a foreword for just any book. So she obviously felt very strongly about this book and the work that you and Mark are doing. Let me actually just read a little excerpt of her foreword, and then I want to ask you about that relationship. So her thing says, Vegan World Fusion Cuisine serves as a manual for sustainable, nonviolent living, painting a picture of a world without boundaries, where all cultures are celebrated and all people are treated with respect and caring. Hard to beat that.
No,
wow.
It's really wonderful. And Jane's a lady that cannot be bought.
Yeah.
If you've ever met her, she has a discernible aura and presence. She has never sold out whatsoever, and she lives for a peaceful world. It breaks her heart to see what's going on in our world today. So she, as a UN messenger of peace, works tirelessly day in and day out. If she has to be in Hollywood one day, in England another day, Africa for a month, you know, journaling, she'll do whatever she can. And we met her, and she saw what we were doing, and she instantly really resonated with it, and one thing has led to another. And we work very closely together on a number of projects, including something called the Roots and Shoots program, which is trying to feed kids at elementary school level from the garden in a way that is more natural for them, so they can connect the dots that, wow, food comes from the earth. It doesn't come from XYZ market. You know?
Yeah.
So there's a lot going on with Jane that's very, very positive. She's been a tremendous ally.
And along those lines, I think I alluded to this earlier, but I really want to make sure that people know, in addition to all the amazing recipes, and it's just like a visual feast as well as, you know, the feast that you can, you know, enjoy after you've tried some of these recipes. But in addition to that, there is quite a bit of information and resources about vegan education, animal groups, environmental groups. I mean, it's just chock full stuff, and where applicable, there's websites or how to contact these people. So if you want to find out more about this or that, it's really, like, easy and if you'll excuse the expression, user-friendly, and it's very, very cool. I mean, this seems like a real labor of love that you guys did here.
We've been really fortunate. You know, we published our own book. It's up for 3 awards, including Best New Cookbook.
Yeah.
It's up for an award, Best Book Health and Healing. That's out of about 5,000 new books in that category. 5 of us were chosen, and Deepak Chopra is one of them, and that's pretty interesting. And then also, we're Best New Small Independent Press because of the beauty of the book. It's Peter Falk says he just opens the book and makes him feel healthier, you know. His wife's a vegan.
Wow. Yeah. No, I thought I saw something from him in there, too, and it's just so cool. It's just so great. Well, any other, probably just got a couple minutes left, Bo. I mean,
yeah, I would like to ask people to look towards foods of the future, try to expand our consciousness a little bit. People that generally are, you know, eat the same thing over and over. We go out to eat, we go to our favorite restaurant, eat the same thing. I'd ask people to experiment a little bit with their taste buds, to maybe take a look at doing salads more that incorporate all kinds of things. We layer things. We do monk bowls, we call them. We'll put some greens on the bottom, grains on top, maybe a little protein on the very, very top, and we turn it into a little bowl. It's very easy to eat this way, and foods of the future you'll see coming online out here will be flaxseed crackers, which are actually a live food product. They're not cooked. A matter of fact, in Irvine, you have one of the best flaxseed cracker manufacturers going, and they can't keep up with the demand. Flaxseeds have been proven, obviously, to lower cholesterol, melt down cholesterol, and rid you of coronary disease. It's a superfood of the future you'll start to see. We call it the Triscuit of the future.
Great.
I think it's important to keep variety, make it fun, maybe have a smoothie in the morning, a salad at lunch, and then do a nice casserole with the family at dinner. All in all, we're going to make it easy for people. We'll do whatever we can to make sure they have books, website information, free recipes. We have another website. It's www.onedegree. It's onedegree.com. Those are my companies. My wife and I are angel investors in companies we feel are going to promote health, healing, well-being, maybe some magic and spirit in people's lives. And so to that end, we have online radio shows that we do, which we run the most popular New Age radio show in the world, actually, called Mystic Radio.
Yeah,
we do that. We're behind a number of things, and the whole idea is just we try to be a clear channel, being, you know, of this kind of information so that people will see it's not we're trying to take the word vegan out of the semantic that has been cast on it by the media.
Mm-hmm.
As being this kind of like angry veganista type of thing. We're just trying to live pure and simply in a modern day world to save some money, eradicate the need for health care completely, and not be so dependent on what the media tells us we need to do by following an intuitive lifestyle.
Well, and I got to believe that whether, again, people are fortunate enough to step into one of the restaurants or, again, just try some of these recipes, which whether they pick up the book, which hopefully they will, or get some things online. I mean, that's, I think, only going to prompt more people to say, wow, you know, I don't know what I had in my head, but this is great food, and I want to keep trying more of this and doing more of this.
It's working, Duncan. I'll just give you a quick story. 2 months ago, a nutritionist from Davis, a PhD lady, came out with a study that said it is irresponsible and unethical to give your kids, to rob your kids of dairy when they're growing up, from like 0 to 2, not to give them dairy.
Mm-hmm.
She cited a study that she did in Africa where everybody was malnourished and the people that had dairy came back faster, whatever. It was just a weird, obtuse study.
Mm-hmm.
Study. She quotes that within 4 minutes. The Paul McCartney camp came out and said, this lady is desperate. Obviously, our campaign is winning because the dairy industry needs to hire these shills to try to pretend we need these foods, whereas all we're really doing is raping our planet, raping the animals. So he's really harsh on it right now.
Yeah.
And he's a big proponent of what we're doing, obviously, because of his awareness. We think it's a consciousness revolution. So just look within and see if, you know, something resonates with you, and if it does, make those choices gently, and we'll be happy to assist any way we can.
And as another thing, too, that just in terms of the appeal and that, you know, it can be fun and exciting. I mean, the dessert section of the book, oh, my God. I mean, I'm just going to rattle off some of the entrees, you know, a kava brandy.
My publicist, Duncan?
Well, I'm just saying, because the thing is, you know, like when we had Tawny here, I mean, you know, we don't do it a lot on the show here, but to me, obviously, there's a direct correlation between people who really care about animals and animal issues to this kind of eating and people who have great restaurants or great cookbooks. So, you know, I mean, and when you find something like this, and also, I mean, frankly, what caught my eye is I first went to Kauai in, I think, 68 or so.
Holy mama.
And so, I mean, it's hard. I don't go that often now anymore. But I mean, it's just like, wow, that this place is on Kauai is, like, so amazing. And, you know, I mean, it's just, I mean, all these things are really kind of cool things. But anyways, you know, even if you had no connection like that, Wonder Bars, fruit cobbler, carrot cake, a banana chocolate custard, pumpkin pie. I mean, you know, heck, even if you want to skip some of the other things and just go right to dessert, it's not
there's
like
a lot of great desserts. Yeah, and they're easy to make. The kids love to make them, and there's so many great things that you can do with food. I'm glad that you enjoy it. You're a real foodie, man. I love this.
Well, I mean, and the thing is, that's the other aspect about this too. Is a lot of people say, okay, foodie and vegan, oxymoron. You know, but
right.
It doesn't have to be at all. And obviously, your restaurant, your cookbook, or and by the way, Bo, I mean, like, obviously you mentioned some high profile folks that dine there, but I mean, I don't know, I didn't see a menu. I don't know how expensive it is. I mean, I assume a fair amount of your customers are local patrons, right?
On Kauai, there's 40,000 people more or less that live on Kauai, and there's 40,000 that come through every month as travelers.
Right.
And tourists. If you go to blossominglotus.com, you'll see our menus from both Portland and Kauai perspective.
Okay.
You can eat there for $10 a meal, or you can eat there for $30 a meal. We, you know, we serve extensive dishes, and we also serve, you know, roots, family-style dining. We have a 1,000-petal platter for $11. You get four different types of entrees. So you do not need to be a multimillionaire to do this. You'll save money, but mainly you'll just feel better, and you will not have health issues.
That's so great. Well, that's a perfect note to end on. Beau Rinaldi, thank you so much. One more time, the name of the cookbook, Vegan World Fusion Cuisine. Among the websites, veganfusion.com and 1degree.com and blossominglotus.com, I guess, while we're rattling them off. So,
got it all, Duncan. When are we going to do a show from Kauai? You can just come on over.
Believe me, that's the kind of remote I would love. So,
I'll send you a little love letter and we'll contemplate it. Seriously, I'd like to work with you some more.
Cool, man. All right, thank you so much, Bo. Good luck with everything. And also, Bo, when I was getting him on the phone to bring him on the air here, he was saying he'd be happy to donate a book or two. So maybe if someone wins Name That Animal Tune, or we're about to jump into our fun drive for the station, you might even have a chance to score a copy of Vegan World Fusion Cuisine. So all the more. Thanks again, Bo Rinaldi.
Pleasure's entirely ours. Thank you, Doug.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, so Bo Rinaldi, Vegan World Fusion Cuisine, obviously with the things that you heard and my own enthusiasm, hope you'll check it out. I mean, just again, looking at it is just stunning, and there's just all kinds of great info, and not to mention, of course, just tons and tons of great recipes. So that was cool. It's time now to play Name That Animal Tune, like any other version of Name That Tune. Of course, this just involves identifying a song, except this tune is always animal-related. So I'm going to play a little snippet from it. If you're the first person to correctly identify it, then you will call in 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI, and you might have your choice of prizes, including a copy of the book. It's Name an Animal Tune on KUCI.
Celebrate anything you want. Yes, you can celebrate anything you want. Oh, high, 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 high. Do a road hog where you can penetrate any place you go. Yes, you can penetrate any place you go.
I don't know if we could help you much more. I mean, the chorus of the song is the answer to the quiz question. What else do you want? All right, we just about have reached the end of this week's edition of Talking Animals. We want to remind you that the views and opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of KUCI, UCI, or the University of California Board of Regents. I want to again thank our guest, Bo Rinaldi. One last time, the book is Vegan World Fusion Cuisine. Websites include 1degree.com, blossominglotus.com, veganfusion.com, and I'm scrambling for other info as well. But anyway, so I want to thank you all for listening and for the phone call, the inside phone call, so to speak, that we receive. Hope you'll join us next Monday, May 9th. Really, really, really excited about this, and not coincidentally, it falls during our fun drive period. Our guest is going to be Triumph, the insult comic dog, best known from his appearances on Late Night with Conan O'Brien, as well as his Grammy-nominated album and hilarious DVD that collects some of his best segments from Conan. It's also, not surprisingly, perhaps the first instance of a talking animal being a guest on Talking Animals, so hope you'll check that out. Meanwhile, I hope you'll gear up later in the week, starting May 6th through the 16th, to support KUCI for its annual fund drive. You can call 949-824-5824 or go to the website, kuci.org, and donate that way. by the way, other great public affairs shows on KCI include, just today alone, the Serena Sharp Show, which, of course, precedes Talking Animals. Then at 5 p.m., we offer Counterspin, followed at 5:30 by Planetary Radio with Matt Kaplan. And that's just Monday, folks. There's great public affairs programming and talk shows like each weekday, 8 to 9 and 9 to 10 in the morning, and again from 5 to 6 in the afternoon. I want to again urge you to check out our website, talkinganimals.net. When you get there, please sign up for our email list so we can alert you to guest bookings and other events and announcements. Also, I encourage you to email me with comments, guest suggestions, ideas about show topics, songs, comedy bits, news stories, anything else you'd like to pass along at talkinganimals@AOL.com. I really look forward to hearing from you. I really do. Please stay tuned for Jeff Scott and the Blues Disease, his great, great blues show here on KUCI. This has been Talking Animals on 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. And as always, we're going to close things out here with an animal-related tune. This is music from John Doe, with a song called There's a Black Horse on KUCI. We'll catch you next week on Talking Animals with Triumph, the Insult Comic Dog.
There's a black horse in a photograph. His mane blows in your face. There's a black horse in a photograph. His mane blows in your face. You're right. Shadow.